This morning's public reading comes from John chapter 8, verses 12 to 30. I mentioned last week when we introduced the first 11 verses that John chapter 8 is a little long, but the message and the events of chapter 8 are such that I felt it needful to break it down into sections that we can digest better and then look at the whole flow of that 8th chapter. Okay? Now, last week, Jesus dealt with the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. Somehow, and for whatever reason, the gentleman was not brought to the scene, but just the woman. And we saw how Jesus dealt with that. So that forms kind of the context of what now follows. Verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, so, for those who claim that the first 11 verses of chapter 8 of John don't belong there, and you pick up with verse 12 being literally verse 1, you're actually missing something. Because it says, then spake Jesus again unto them. Well, by context, who are the them? Well, the ones who brought this woman, and they wanted to see her killed and to see what Jesus' response was going to be, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. So basically they're accusing Jesus of being a flat-out liar. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. My record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I came and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. Now in chapter 8, he's going to make this constant, he's going to repeat his relationship with the Father. It's constantly emphasized, okay? It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, notice, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Notice again, reliance and relationship to the Father. Then they said unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, ye should have known my Father. Notice the relationship. To know the Father, in essence, is to know the Son. To know the Son, in essence, is to know the Father. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, notice, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall see me, ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Notice how their wooden, literal method of hermeneutics always caused them problems. Because he saith, whether I go, you cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. And there's a Hebrew parallel there, if you haven't picked up on it. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. Notice the relationship back to the Father. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake of them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, That's crucifixion. Then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these words. Note the relationship with the Father. And he that sent me is with me. Again. The Father has not left me alone. Again. For I do always those things that please him. Again, that mention. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Amen. Please be seated. May God choose to bless his word. So this entire chapter 8 takes place in the temple courtyard. You had the treasury also there. Again, Jesus was of the tribe of Judah, which meant that he was not authorized to go inside the temple complex where the Levites would perform their holy duty before God on behalf of the people. Okay, bringing the blood and such, changing the loaves of unleavened bread, maintaining the oil to the lampstand, the incense on the altar of incense, and then the high priest one day of year going behind the veil or beyond the veil and sprinkling the blood on the mercy seat on the Day of Atonement. Jesus could go in none of those locations because he was not of the tribe of Levi. He was of the tribe of Judah. So when it talks about Jesus in your four Gospels, acting and being found in the temple, he's not inside the proper complex. He's in the outside courtyard that could facilitate hundreds, if not thousands, of people. So that's where he's at. And so notice how he begins in verse 12, I am the light of the world. Now, there are those in their infinite wisdom, some claim to be Christians, that say that Jesus never once declared himself to be God. Now, I believe Jesus declared himself to be God in so many ways. Not only did he verbalize it, like here, but he also demonstrated in his miracles and mighty deeds. Notice, I am. Well, who in the world was speaking to Moses in the burning bush? When Moses asked, what is your name, that I may go back and tell your people, the person speaking to him through the fiery bush that was not consumed said, I am that I am. And everyone attributes that voice to God, which it was. And notice how Jesus uses the same phrase, the same term, I am. And then he adds a host of other descriptions. Here, I am the light of the world. Notice, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now here Jesus is not talking about flashlights or candles. He's not talking about LED lights that shine and basically blind you when you look at them. He's talking on a spiritual level. Spiritual light. Okay? The opening up of the eyes and the ears, as we mentioned in the last hour. Unless God opens our eyes and our hearts and our minds to his word, beloved, we'll wander in ignorance and darkness forever. I am the light of the world. Then notice in verse 13, what was the response of the religious leaders whom that judicial blindness was about to fall, just like a veil falling, just like a curtain closing. Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record, your testimony, your words are not true. So notice, out of the gate, total, open in Jesus' face, total rejection. Your lying, your words, your testimony is not true. Jesus answered and said unto him, though I bear record of myself, though he's speaking by himself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Then he accuses them, you judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. And I went out of my way to pause and to show you, call your attention, how many times does Jesus allude to his unique, loving relationship to the Father. Matter of fact, in John 17, part of his Lord's Prayer was to beseech the Father that Jesus would once again experience the glory and the fullness of that relationship in the heavenlies, versus it being veiled in his incarnation here and his humiliation, his subjection to the Father's will as the God-man. Okay? Then Jesus reminds them in verse 17. I like this. Every so often, Jesus has to remind them about the book that they claim they have a handle on. It's also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. So Jesus slaps that on the table. I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Notice again that relationship. Then we're told in verse 20 where exactly this encounter is now occurring. They're in the treasury, in that temple complex area. Then Jesus tells them, I'm going to go my way, and you can't come with me. And they thought he was going to commit suicide. Look at that verse 22. Will he kill himself? Notice, every time the Jews in the four Gospels, when they encountered something from Jesus' lips, like what we saw in John chapter 6 about eating flesh and drinking his blood, every time that Jesus spoke in such a way, their interpretation, their hermeneutical approach to his words landed them always in the doghouse. They always struck out. Now, for those who claim Jesus never claimed divinity, how do you handle verse 23? He said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Now, let's look at the Hebrew parallelism. What does Jesus mean when he says, you are from beneath? Well, you're of this world. And what does Jesus mean when he says, I'm from above? I am not of this world. Beloved, that's an open declaration of his divinity. You have to be blind or blinded willingly on your part not to see what is there. Verse 26, I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not. Now notice, they're not understanding. There's no connection. And I want you to hang on to that, because it's vital in this John 8. Then Jesus said unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father had taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Now, up until this point, all that we are told is that they're really not getting the message. And yet we have verse 30. And as he spoke these words, many believed on him. Now, the Bible does teach two types of belief. You have a genuine belief that results and leads unto salvation. And you have another belief that ends up like Judas Iscariot, Simon of Acts 8, and those to whom John talks about in 1 John 2, verses, 16, 17, 18, those whom he calls Antichrist. We will eventually get to that. And may God choose to bless his word.